אנחנו קוראים בספר קבלה
למתחילים. We're reading from Kabbalah for the Student, Preface to the Wisdom of Kabbalah, page 600, Matter of Katnut and Gadlut, which was renewed in the world of Nikudim, item 70. So again, Kabbalah for the Student, Preface to the Wisdom of Kabbalah, page 600. You can ask questions at kab.tv. Relevant questions will be heard during the lesson.
Boy, I don't know what to do. Indeed, I'll tell you, indeed, the preface to the wisdom of Kabbalah, or the study of the Ten Sefirot, almost impossible to study in this lesson, because every time new people are coming, I'm looking at them, understandingly, yeah, that they do not understand. They look at me like, what does he say? And then, as if we have a problem. However, of course, all the beginners, I hope they join in the campus, the learning center, and studying it in a way that within a short while they understand what are we talking about. Nevertheless, let's cut off a segment. What?
What? There, there is a request from Jerusalem. They said that the fact that they live far, it's not their fault. So there were a few questions, if I may, which are related to this material we studied before. John from Bogotá is asking, why is the Creator...
What's in Jerusalem? That's in Florida.
No, the previous question was from Jerusalem. Now John from Bogotá is asking...
I think I visited him.
Why does he call the Creator Bina, once Bina, once Anpin?
Oh, all that is above Malchut belongs to the upper one, the upper force, the force of the light, the Creator. Whichever way you say it. The Creator called, the Kodesh Baruch Hu called Zeir Anpin. Elohim is Bina. And in general, above Malchut, all the names we are attributing to the upper light, aside from Shaddai. The name Shaddai attributed to Malchut. Shaddai. That's it. But below Malchut is the Parsa. However, above it is the Ekye Elohim in Gematria, in such combinations, so different references and Havaya. In short, these appellations are all in all, I spoke about it more than once, that from Shoresh, when the light expands, we have the first discernments, the desire to receive, second discernments, the desire to bestow, then Zeir Anpin, then Malchut. This is Aleph, Bet, Gimel, and Daled. Those are four discernments. And here is the root, Shoresh. Discernment, Shoresh. We have the expansion of the light as it creates the Kli. From it, we have the tip of the Yud. Yud, first Hey, Vav, and the lower Hey, Yud, K, Vav, K. And from that also emerges all the names. Because if the light expands from above downwards in such way, this is called simple Havaya, that there is nothing, there's not even creature yet. The light expands and go all the way. Now, once that Bechina Dalet, the fourth discernment, Malchut, has been created and it wants to restrict itself, this is called first restriction, and then a screen was formed, and then Or Chozer, returning light, meaning she wants to resemble the Creator, then it raises itself. It depends on what degree it raises itself when she wants to resemble him, and by that you have appellations that she attributes to the Creator. However, she attributes appellations to herself. To what extent she recognizes the light that expands in her. The light has no characteristic, no taste, no nothing. Rather, because it is revealed in a certain manner of the response of the creature, then in it there are all kind of appearances within the creature. And then these appearances within the creature, which are dependent on the qualities of the creature, they are called the names of the Creator. The Creator has no name, rather I give it a name to the extent that I recognize it, to the extent that I know Him, that I can resemble Him. Hence the name is called, if I have Yud, K, Vav, K, these are the letters, then what does it mean, the name? If I am filling up those letters by the light, when the light comes and enter my vessel called Chochma Bina Zir Anpin in Malchut from Keter, the crown, when the light comes and fulfill them, then the light together with those vessels is called the name of the Creator or the name of the Lord. That's it. Or we could say that a name or appellation equal a screen, masach, and or chozer, returning light. Meaning the Creator has no name. Meaning according to my screens, my returning light, according to my correspondence to Him, I reveal a phenomenon, a certain quality. And then I called Him by the name of this quality. Say I came to a state where by delight I have corrected myself to be merciful. So I'm calling the Creator merciful. Why? Because I have revealed that quality in the light, in me I've revealed, when I become also as such. So I call Him, basically, according to my attainment, to what I have, according to what I have attained. Hence, we are saying, and the name of the Lord would be upon you, meaning that we are becoming those appellations. Thus, the light has no name, only according to the attainment of the creature.
There's a question from Turkey. Can you elaborate about the formation of the black point, black color, by the light?
Well, we are learning it in the first part of the study of the Ten Sefirot, inner light. What is there to say? We are saying the following. It is said that what is called the only act of creation that the Creator has created, creation meaning bar, external to the degree, meaning we have light, and what has happened within the light, only a certain small dark, a point that is external to the light. If the light is internally, entirely bestowed, good and benevolent, so what is outside of it, slightly darker than that, is the point of the creature. And that point start forming by the light influencing that point, and then within it, within itself, it remains as a point. However, feeling how it within, by the light, starting to feel itself differently. Suddenly it feels that it wants to receive. That it wants to receive, then it wants to bestow. Then it wants, it feels, it builds itself in receiving in order to bestow. Then she wants to receive everything by the light. So that point is within that sensation. The last stage called Malchut of Ein Sof, Malchut of Infinity. What does it mean of Ein Sof, no end? Meaning it wants to receive all the influences that coming from the light within it. However, in that same point, in that point later on, make the first restriction, and masach, a screen, and worlds, and corrections, all in order to feel within that it is truly like the light, the Creator. Meaning, all in all, what we are speaking of is what is happening in that same point the Creator has created, and everyone is in it, in that same point. very point. However, once to start with, it is a dark point. By our work, it turns to be as the light itself. And that's as an answer. All right? Ask something. So there's also a question.
There is also a question from Kiev and Erez Pinchasov and Moshe Admoni, who are in Jerusalem, in Kabbalah Center in Jerusalem.
Oh, they run away there.
Well, people run away into different places. So they're asking if what determines are my thoughts and intentions. So what is the difference between the reading of the Zohar, Shamati, articles of the Rabash, preface, etc.?
The truth? If you're asking me, I don't feel any difference anymore. Well, I remember there used to be a big difference. The difference is in the language, as Bala Sulam explains to us, that there are many languages in Kabbalah, in general, in the four languages, in the scrutiny of spirituality. Because all that, all in all, we're speaking of spirituality. The Torah speaks of the spiritual world, the Gemara, Mishnayot, Nevi'im, the prophets, the writings, the legends, Kabbalah, definitely. Everyone speaks of spirituality. There's nothing to speak about corporeality. About corporeality speaks the earthy wisdoms. The wisdom of Kabbalah is a godly wisdom, speak of godliness. What does that mean, godliness? But bestow. All the other wisdoms speak of reception. Yeah? The wisdom of Kabbalah speaks of bestow. These are the two forms of nature, the nature to receive and the nature to bestow. About the nature to receive, we have the sciences of this world, so-called. Yeah, the sciences of to receive, of how to receive. And the nature that speaks about the nature that bestow is the wisdom of Kabbalah. So, what is it?
They're asking about the difference between the study of the Zohar and reading of Shamati, etc.
Okay, yeah. About the sciences of this world, we divide them according to the degrees, because in the matter we have degrees of still, vegetative, animate, and speaking. In our world, yeah, we are feeling. Hence we have science that engage in the still degree, yeah? This is physics, usually, and geology, all kind of such things. We have botanics and that deal with the plants. We have animate, which is medicine or vets or human. The animate degree, yeah? Or zoology, and so on. So, in such way, we are researching this world according to the degrees of still, vegetative, animated, and speaking. Accordingly, we have in the spiritual world, because this is science. It doesn't matter, either you're engaging here or there. A person engages. He is the one who researching nature. And also in the wisdom of Kabbalah, in the same field, when you researching the quality of bestowal, not the quality of reception, also there you have different approaches according to the still, vegetative, animate, and speaking. Accordingly, you have four languages, we are calling them. Four languages in the wisdom of Kabbalah. The language of the Mikra, the language of the legend, the language of the parables and the Talmud, and the language of Kabbalah. Bala Sulam explained it in a special article. The language of Kabbalah, all the languages speaks only of spirituality. All the holy books speaks only of spirituality. They have nothing to speak about our world, because our world is entirely in order to receive. And they are only speaking about in order to bestow, and how to come to it, or how to be in order to bestow. To find your way there and to grow up there. And to grow. Hence, The wisdom of Kabbalah, which divides into those four approaches, then the Kabbalists are saying that the most successful language, the strongest, most beneficial, especially for us in our times, is the language of Kabbalah itself, and not the other languages. That's it. This is the difference. That's it. Satisfied you?
There's plenty more. There are more questions. What is the role of Zer Anpin between Malchut and Bina? What is the role of Zer Anpin between Malchut and Bina?
That's
a question of Tamir from Croatia. Well, Tamir from Croatia, Damir from Croatia is asking.
All right, I didn't hear well. I thought, who's Tamir there now? All right, so Damir from Croatia. So we have Zeir Anpin. Zeir Anpin is... What is Zeir Anpin? Look, the upper light... Yeah, we are always going back to the four discernments of the direct light. That should be as a habit for you. If you don't know, go back to the initial point, yeah? Prior to the emanated worm... The emanators were emanated, and there was upper light, simple upper light, and so on. So start from there. So the light created the desire to receive. This is the first discernment. This is called Chokhmah. The light itself is Keter. This desire to receive, yeah, the desire which receives, feel that it receives from the bestower, and the light that satiates it, yeah, it turns it into a bestower. It wants to be a bestower, meaning instead of receiving, like here, it wants to bestow, to resemble Keter, and this is called Bina, wanting to resemble Keter. Meaning, the first discernment is the desire to receive, second discernment is the desire to bestow. Out of her desire to bestow, what can she bestow? Nothing. What can the lower one bestow? However, it understands that should it receive, it would be as bestowing. Just like in the case of the host and the guest. So it developing, so it develops the third discernment, which is receiving in order to bestow. That third discernment is the consequence, the derivative of Bina. When Bechina Gimel, the third discernment, is called Zeir Anpin. Why Zeir Anpin? Zeir is small and Anpin is face. It receives slightly, it understands slightly. Why? Because its Rosh, its head, is here in Bina. It's Rosh. Bina decides that it wants to do so. Hence, Zeir Anpin is called Vak, the lower six. Vak, meaning instead of 10 sefirot, it only has 6 sefirot. It is small, because Bina makes such action. I want to bestow to the Creator. In order to bestow upon the Creator, what can I do? He wants me to receive, I receive. I'm receiving in order to bestow back upon him. This is what she decided. And once she's doing the act, not the decision, not the action, this is called Zeir Anpin. Hence, Zeir Anpin doesn't have Keter Chochma Bina. Yeah? So these are the decisions which are in Bina. And in it, there is the action itself. So Bina gives birth to that act. Hence, Zeir Anpin is on one hand seemingly independent, as if outside of Bina. On the other hand, it is only the fruit of Bina's decision. Is that clear? And this is how it exists. This is what is called Zeir Anpin. Now, out of the fact that he decides like that, meaning that it exists as such, that all in all, this is what Bina has made, that it took, received in order to bestow, basically, and this is Zeir Anpin. This is her action, what she's doing. In Zeir Anpin, revealed, however, this is all, who is the Zeir Anpin? it is the consequence of the first and the second discernment, and this is what becomes the third discernment, Ziranpin. Meaning Ziranpin says, I'm only a result of what the Creator does. Meaning there's no independence here, there's nothing. Where's my desire here in it? And then Bechinat Daled, the fourth discernment, is evolving. When that Bechinat Daled is its own desire that's starting to develop, hence called Malchut. Yeah? Bechinat Daled, a desire to receive from itself, of itself. And then Bechinat Daled truly wants to receive. And everything later on is done in it. So what do I want to say? That Bechina Gimel is an example. An example. Yeah? From the upper one. How the lower one has to be as a bestower. How does it need to be in order to bestow? And then therefore, it is called this discernment, the Kudsha Brichu, the Holy Blessed Be He. Meaning, this is an example for me, what sanctity is, what bestowal is. An example from above. Alright? Well, come on. I think I have never explained it in such a...
So Tomer from Kabbalah Center in Jerusalem is asking, what did Bchina Gimel was missing that the fourth Bchina emerged from it?
Independence, darling, I spoke about it. Bchina Gimel, the third discernment, is only a consequence of the first and the second discernment. Hear out. Third discernment feels itself as a consequence of the first and second discernment, delight. Bestowed, created the first discernment, Chochmah. It inevitably turned into second discernment, Bina. It inevitably created Bechina Gimel, the third discernment, which is indeed that Bechina Gimel, third discernment. You could ask about it. What is lacking after Bechina Gimel? It received in order to bestow. It brings contentment back to Creator. So that Bechina Gimel, the third discernment, from it comes the response towards the Keter, towards the first, towards the root. It receives in order to bestow. So here there is a bestowing upon the root. Root is shorash in Hebrew. So what's lacking in it? What is lacking? Yeah? Independence. For it to be an I. The I is lacking. And that we are attending. Look through what turn, what circle we're coming to conclude, to realize it. It's all the worlds and Patsufim and everything only to realize that deficiency. Yes.
Odette from Haifa is asking, where are these four Bechinot?
I'm sorry, I'm giving him because he takes questions from the whole world. There are new people all over the world.
So Odette from Haifa is asking, where are these four Bechinot located? Where are they?
What does it mean, where they are? Within that dark point we spoke of earlier on. Maybe I should put it this way. Within that same dark point, those four Bechinot.
Shmuel from Ramat Gan is asking, during the lesson, when I imagine the forces lines outside of me, in me, doesn't it mean to make a statue or images?
Look, we have no choice. Correct. Here rises the question, how are we depicting those parts, yeah? The professor or professor asks, he will tell you how they do it in physics. Also, the imaginary world. There's nothing in it. These are waves, and also, we don't know. We're only learning the results. Also, in our world, we are learning the result, the consequences. When I depict the still vegetative animate that I see, these are also derivatives of my depiction. The spiritual world also depicts in me, in my senses. These are inner depictions. The fact you are not allowed to draw characters is when you materialize them, like make it earthy. However, when I'm not materializing them, I'm drawing the attitude, the relationships between them. What am I saying? Right and left. I'm inserting into those discernments what does it mean right and what does it mean left, what does it mean up and what does it mean down. In spirituality, where there's no space, however, I need in a certain form to give everything a weight, characteristic, some uniqueness. Hence there are those depictions. The Kabbalah is for generations back. You can take the book of Yetzirah of Abraham, and there are already depictions in it. It seems to me, if I remember correctly, that there are also depictions in the book Angel Raziel of Adam Rishon. And there he used depictions and Bala Sulam. Yeah. And the Zohar tells us, not in depictions so much, rather it tells us in diagonal, that's above, that's below, and so on. It tells us about these geometrical forces, forms, for us to depict it in those, that relationship of between the things. Bala Sulam did the Tree of Life. If you take Kabbalah, they use depictions, however, not characters, rather geometrical depictions, that drawings that describe the relationships between the forces, nothing more to it. Drawings, yeah.
Okay, there's a question from Tel Aviv. What do we do when we don't know what to ask?
When we don't know what to ask? Just shut up. No, indeed. Truly, this is not his problem. It is written, then open up to him. You have to stimulate him. There are periods when one indeed feels he has nothing to ask. He feels fulfilled. He feels as if he knows it all. And there are periods. And these are periods one go through. That will go by. That will pass. He might also receive answers. Yes. Give the new guy, newcomer. Please, Shmulik.
I'm a musician, and everything you spoke about, I feel it is very similar to music.
Very well. Well, someone there constantly wanted to ask.
We sing different songs here, and in one of them it says to materialize the quality of water. So I wanted to know.
In one of our songs? I don't know. I didn't write them.
So I wanted to listen to the quality of water.
Maybe yes, because water is Bina.
I wanted to know what is the quality of water according to the wisdom of Kabbalah, if it is related to spirituality.
What is this? Told a lot about it. The quality of water is the quality of Bina. Water is the foundation of life. It is bestowal. It is a mercy, chesed. This is a force that clean, force that corrects. The light of mercy is called Maim. You can read about it in the study of the Ten Sefirot, in first chapter, it is written about, he writes about it, upper water, low water, Meibina, Meinukvin, the water of the womb, Rechem, and all these discernments. Open the books, you'll see it well. And we are moving to the next part. This is how we call, I see that. Well, let's move to the next part.
Before we do, let's sing a song together.
Stop my heart.